Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
We've got lots of prayers.
I was scrambling because I did not have the prayer in my hand on this Holy Thursday opening. Final show this week. We are not here tomorrow. We will be in Good Friday programming. Welcome, LA Catholic Morning. Todd is here. Mike and Reed are here too.
I'm Happy Ellen. Holy Thursday.
It is a good day.
The Triduum has begun.
Yes. Yes.
And a lot of people yesterday were like, isn't this great that tomorrow Lent ends? Ooh, it's like, okay.
That is.
I like know you might be really excited about putting sugar in your coffee or something like that.
Yeah.
But the Triduum is supposed to begin the Triduum fast, which
yes.
is supposed to be more severe than your Lenten sacrifices.
Oh, wow. Todd, you are just bursting people's bubble already.
Calm down. It's 3 days.
I know. It's a mountain to climb, Todd.
Mercy.
We do have a colic for today.
Because there's Mass this evening.
Yes. Okay.
There are no morning Masses. The only time a morning Mass is allowed is if it's the Chrism Mass.
Mm-hmm.
But here in our archdiocese, they transferred the Chrism Mass to Tuesday because of the size of the diocese.
Yes.
That's the only reason. But in a lot of places in our country and in the world, the Chrism Mass will be celebrated this morning.
Very nice.
Yeah.
So we will open this Holy Thursday in prayer.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O God, who anointed your only begotten Son with the Holy Spirit and made him Christ and Lord, graciously grant that being made sharers in his consecration, we may bear witness to your redemption in the world. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank our sponsor, Eastern Shore Urgent Care Daphne, offering walk-in medical attention for minor emergencies and illnesses, open 7 days a week. Visit them on Urgent Care Drive across from Lowe's or contact them at 251-626-3782 or at esucare.com.
And in world news, in the wake of the Francis Scott Key Bridge's collapse on Tuesday, the Archdiocese of Baltimore has been at the forefront of efforts to help the victims. Archbishop William Laurie called for prayer and held a special mass for the victims Tuesday evening at Baltimore's Cathedral of Mary, Our Queen. Among the victims are 2 injured and 6 missing construction workers who are presumed dead and 22 who were stranded aboard the Singaporean ship that crashed into the bridge. Presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump this week is advertising United States-themed Bibles ahead of Easter, urging supporters to purchase a copy of the Holy Book and help make America pray again. Trump announced the commemorative Bible offering on social media this week, saying he partnered with country singer Lee Greenwood on the initiative. Greenwood's 1984 song, God Bless the USA, is traditionally played before Trump's campaign rally and event speeches. A series of Israeli airstrikes in southern Lebanon killed 16 people, and a barrage of rockets fired by the militant group Hezbollah killed 1 Israeli man, making yesterday the deadliest day in more than 5 months of fighting along the border. A robotic dog is being thanked by state police in Massachusetts for helping avert a tragedy involving a person barricaded in a home. No, his name was not Max. The robotic dog was named Roscoe, was part of the Massachusetts State Police Bomb Squad and deployed this month in a barn stable house after police were fired upon. Police sent in 2 other robots often used for bomb disposal into the house to find the suspect along with the robotic dog. And in sports news, the Sweet 16 play begins tonight. Alabama taking on North Carolina at 8:30 p.m. And it's also the opening day for MLB. So
that's going to conflict with some people's Holy Thursday plans, maybe.
Maybe not.
Well, no,
because
no,
the game, because Reed was saying the Red Sox don't play until 9 p.m.
Oh, okay.
And if you go to a 7 p.m. Mass tonight, the Liturgy of the Last Supper, you'll be home.
Huh.
You'll be home.
Yeah, like you'll catch it.
Okay, just checking.
That'll be nice. Mm-hmm. On the line, we have Michelle Sagarino. She's the president of Cross Catholic Outreach. You can connect with them at crosscatholic.org. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me here today again. Good to be with you.
It's always great having you on, because Cross Catholic does such great work. And I'll tell you, just the other day, and Ellen can attest to this.
Yes.
There was a water main break here in our area, around the studio and where the parish is across the street. And everyone was calling me because I'm the maintenance guy.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, there's no water. There's no water. And I said, okay, well, let's call down to the city. And the city said, yeah, there's a water main break. And they even said that it'll probably take 4 to 6 hours. It didn't. They were able to bypass it in just, I don't know, 45 minutes or an hour.
No.
But it was crazy, Michelle, how many people were like, I'm dying because I can't turn on a faucet.
Yes,
or, wait, can I still flush the toilet? Like, I mean, they were just going insane. And I thought, wow, how quickly we forget the blessing of having water. Right, Michelle?
Oh, you're so right. Or when there's a hurricane, how we all flood, right, to get our bottles of water. And we know we can have access. But over 2 billion people worldwide lack access to safe drinking water at their home. Mm-hmm. 2 billion. So really, it's such a cause of child immortality. You know, one child dies every 22 seconds from the lack of water or disease caused by drinking water. You've seen it in pictures out of pits and, you know, contaminated rivers where animals are walking around. So we just thought, you know, with these stats, just during this time of year, just as our souls need Christ, our bodies need water. And we want to challenge your audience and other Catholics around the world to join our Wells of Salvation Clean Water Challenge at crosscatholic.org, where we are trying to build 109 wells in Zambia and Malawi.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? 49,000 people will receive water from this challenge. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what's great, Michelle, is that you come to the table with this endeavor, and Cross Catholic has a really good reputation for what you did with the Box of Joy. You took a small, simple idea, and over the last, I don't know how many years it's been now, you've really grown it into something still simple, yet meaningful, and you're able to replicate it for more and more people. So I'm anxious to see what you're going to do with this this water initiative, clean water initiative, because you kind of got the template already in place on how to do something simple yet powerful for people and then replicate and spread that throughout the area.
Well, thank you for the compliment. I agree. Since we began in 2001, we have helped in 90 countries and given $4.4 billion worth of aid that has come from Catholics around the United States, helping in build houses, the Box of Joy Christmas box program that you support and help, education, microfinance. But we really see water as one of the critical beginning needs in so many communities. And so we have the blessing of working long term. We support priests, nuns, and lay Catholics in the developing world, and they're the ones that say, this is the need. This community needs the water the most, and they're the ones lifting this up in a holistic way, right? The spiritual and the material together.
So how does this work, Michelle? How can we help?
Well, you can go to crosscatholic.org and you will see it on our homepage to be able to join the Wells of Salvation Clean Water Challenge. And just to put it in context, for $23, you can provide water to one person for life. And because we come alongside the church, we are there. We're not coming in, building a well and leaving. The diocese, the priests, the sisters, the lay missionaries, they're ensuring that this well continues on. And that's what we're all about, is long-term support.
Well, it seems too, and I'm looking at your website that you mentioned, crosscatholic.org, that by getting clean water and access to it with regularity to these locations, that you help so many other more things going on in the communities. They're able then to cook food. They're able then to have cleaner hospitals and medical facilities, all of the things that have a ripple effect from making sure that a community has a well and has access to regular running clean water in their community. And it's just one small thing that can have great effects for those living there in that place.
Well, and it's totally life-changing. I've sat in a very small hut with a mom and Kenya. I've been all around the world talking to individuals about water, and particularly in Zambia and Malawi, the water carriers are these little girls, the children, that could walk up to 10 hours a day to get water. So what does that do? That you've seen the big buckets on mm-hmm. their heads. That weighs 40 pounds. I don't know, 40 mm-hmm. pounds, that's a lot. But this traveling, this need to get necessity of water often stops people from going to school. Mm-hmm. The children don't have time to go to school, or they don't have enough energy to go to school. And then as a mother, knowing that you're going to be digging out of this, you know, river with contaminated water, you're kind of making a choice. My child needs water, but what I'm giving them is that going to be contaminated? So this is the first step to truly transforming a community. And we know transformation can't help happen without Christ in the center. And that's what the church is doing, providing both the water and our living water. So it's a great time to be thinking about this, and what a great way to during Lent to have this type of almsgiving to change someone's life. And so we're really hoping your listeners will go to crosscatholic.org and change someone's life, as we've seen over and over again.
It is kind of crazy too, when you think about how much impact you can have for that small amount of a donation. I'm kind of embarrassed to say, the other day we went out to eat and we went to a nicer pizza place than we normally go to.
You got the water?
Well, no, I'm saying four of us ate, and uh-huh. it was like almost $100.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It was almost $100.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, that's four people drinking, right, Michelle?
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And we are so cost effective in our approach because we don't have thousands of people all around from our ministry in the field. We again lift up those that are already there. And so for a small amount, you can change a life. And we believe in being able to update you on that progress, you know, to see it on our website, the change you're making. Like a little girl in Malawi, Vanessa, she was in one of the villages that's receiving water, and her father had died of COVID. Well, that, without a leader in the household, that often can sink a family. And the church just came alongside of her mother. Her mother's name's Happy, and Vanessa. They ended up receiving their first communion in 2021 by being aligned with the church. And this year, they received water in their village, and Vanessa's able to go to school and have a clean uniform, have, you know, just feeling like she's ready to have hope for the future. I think water provides the hope for the future for many families.
It's also incredible because we just assume, you know, that the world is like the United States. Mm-hmm. We're just assuming. it's just like us.
Turn on the tap.
Yeah. I have two friends who are both doctors. It's a married couple, and they are working in Malawi right now. And they said, you know, there's certain areas, certain pockets that you come into, and it's very advanced. It almost seems like first world. Mm-hmm. And then you can drive 20 miles, mm-hmm. and it's exactly what you're describing is what they experience. And for medical care, it's the same thing, because if you don't have clean water, then that does affect everyone's health. Right, Michelle?
Oh, it's the biggest cause of impact on health. And that's fabulous. Your friends are going to Malawi. I just read somewhere that I believe there's one doctor for every 20,000 people. Mm. So if your husband, if your grandmother, if your child got sick, the distance that they have to travel from these waterborne diseases, it becomes quite serious, parasites, and they don't have that access. So it is, the programs all come together, right? The water many times being the base, which can allow future views of education, better medical care. So we're able through our ministry to circle around and have many interventions, including what Ellen mentioned, the beautiful Box of Joy Christmas program, so that we can help really make a change, right? To really transform. So that's fabulous. They're going there. Not an easy job to be a doctor, one doctor for every 20,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Now, you spoke about the diocese and the churches being involved in that. In this, how much does a diocese? I mean, we think about it in our American churches. My parish is not so concerned if I have running water in my house or those things. But it seems to me perhaps the cultures are and the facilities are not as built up that the church really takes a hand in helping make sure people are lifted out and helped in some of the most basic needs of humanity beyond just their spiritual needs here.
They do. As we go into many countries, I was just traveling in Guatemala, the diocese has a large, I don't want to say burden, a large calling, because they are coming into communities. Oftentimes there aren't even little chapels for these families to go. So we help to support that financially for them to be able to continue to reach out to their community. And what a change we see in that. Then, just like we have Catholic charities here in our communities, Caritas, the local Caritas in each diocese, that's like the Catholic charities reaching out. And they are some of the most brilliant leaders, but they don't have the finances. They often don't even have parishes, you know, in these little, or chapels in these little towns. So they are the hub, and they come alongside their community and to be able to provide these material basic needs is just such a blessing to them. And that's what we want to do as a Catholic ministry. We supply the funds to these dioceses. We ask them what they need. And as I mentioned, water is often the first thing that they need. And we listen to them as leaders. God called them there. They're in the field. They know how to make a difference in these communities. And I just pray that as a universal church, we come together and support these heroes. And this is just one way. There's so many ways we've all gathered. But at crosscatholic.org, you can go. And if water is what you feel called to help with, you can rest assured that these strong leaders are getting it to the most neediest communities.
Yeah, it makes total sense, Michelle, because I remember when Saint Mother Teresa talked about how if you want to bring Christ to a community, you can't come and preach when they've got empty bellies.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's impossible. I mean, it's going to fall on deaf ears. You have to give them at least the basic necessities, their human needs, before then you can bring the gospel. So this makes absolute perfect sense, Michelle.
Oh, thank you. In a very remote area in Kenya called Lodwar, it looks like you're on the moon, but red clay, very, very dry. People would die over water conflicts, trying to get water. And we have a mission that's working there. And they ended up after the first well, several people in the community said, we want to know more about your God. Our God has abandoned us. For years and years, people would pledge things and not come. Our God has abandoned us. We want to know more about your God. So you do just need to be alongside, don't we? All want to be in relationship and to see the beauty and the light of the church, and then to receive water or housing, whatever the most urgent need is through your church. And it's life-changing. But we don't give our aid to only Catholics, right? That's not what we're about. It's all run by Catholic missions, but we're reaching out and showing the light of Christ in all that we do.
Michelle Sagarino, thanks for joining us this morning, sharing the good work. CrossCatholic.org. You can help with their water program. $23 will give someone water for life. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
You.
Thanks,
Thank
Michelle.
You. God bless.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Robert Overmeyer, is he in the
studio.
Building?
Yep, sure.
Yeah,
is.
Right. Live guest here in studio. He's going to talk about the St. Pius Golf Tournament.
Yep, sure is.
So stay with us next. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. Oh, now we're back.
It's Holy Thursday.
Yes. Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning. In studio with us from St. Pius X Parish in Mobile, Robert Overmeyer, also a great supporter of the show and the station through your good work at Ascension Funeral Homes. But you are here to talk to us about the St. Pius X Memorial Golf Tournament coming up. What can you share with us?
Good morning.
Good morning.
A blessed Holy Thursday to you and to all the listeners.
Thank you.
Pray mm-hmm. that you have a great and beautiful Easter Triduum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is my favorite time of the year.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. Todd's super excited.
Yeah. I know
he is. I geek out over this, yeah.
But, yeah, we're having our 20th annual.
Whoa.
20th.
20 years.
There
yeah.
must be
this has been going on for 20 years.
20 years.
Special
yeah.
hat or
Hello.
Shirt.
I wasn't sure if this was something Father Nicholas started.
No, not Father Nicholas. Actually, Father O'Connor started it when really? He was there.
Wow.
We all know what a big golfer he was, and they wanted to start some kind of fundraiser. Well, the natural thing to go to him with was a golf tournament.
And I'm sure he was I'm in.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It didn't take much convincing with Father O'Connor to get this started.
Indeed.
And this is my first year to serve as the chairman of the golf tournament. The people that had the committee for the last 19 years, they finally told Father Savoy last year that it was time for them to retire.
Time to move on.
And
right.
move on. And Father Nicholas, of course, we had transitioned last year from Father Savoy to Father Nicholas. And Father Nicholas asked me a while back to take on the chairman of the golf tournament responsibilities. So I did that. And it's been a great challenge. I've enjoyed it. Fortunately, I had great notes from the people ahead of me mm-hmm. With what to do, so it's not like I was reinventing the wheel.
I was going to say,
That's
this isn't brand
good.
New.
Yes.
After 20 years, it's like, we got this.
Uh-huh. And then we've got a lot of our same supporters that have supported us the whole time, and all you have to do is go by and visit and see them and sit down and talk to them, and they're more than willing to sponsor us again this year.
Awesome.
Even with the economy the way it is, they're still willing to support our school and support St. Pius.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So,
all right, so give us the details.
Well, the details of golf tournament is exactly 1 month from today mm-hmm. on Sunday, April 28th. So we're 1 month out. It takes place at Spring Hill Golf Course on Spring Hill College campus. And then we have lunch and registration beginning at 12 noon on that Sunday. Lunch is usually pretty good. The 74 Club, which is the class of 1974 from McGill-Tulin, they always provided a lunch of hot dogs, hamburgers, and I think maybe nachos or something for the golfers and the volunteers before the tournament. And then it starts at 1 o'clock with a shotgun start. And the format we use is a four-person scramble, which means that you use the best ball of the four people that playing on your team, and whichever shot is the best, that's the one you use. And we go by the principle that par is your friend, because we usually have so many people playing that the quickest way to move on is once you reach par, you move on so the next group can follow up behind you, and you're not there sitting there waiting on everyone to finish and taking longer. So it works out really well, and has always been a great day, and the people that come each year and participate. They really enjoy it and really have a good time. And, you know, like I said, it's a charity event. It supports the school and raises funds for the school to help the school keep moving each and every year. And it's one of our biggest fundraisers that we have each year.
All right. So people are listening right now going, all right, golf, I'm in. So how do they sign up?
The way to sign up is to contact either go to our website, stpius10th.com or stpiusmobile.com. And then you can sign up there or you can call the church office at 251-471-2449. And they will sign you up or they will email you a sheet. We have all kinds of different levels of sponsorship. We have what we call the Monsignor Jennings level of sponsorship for $2,000. That's a donation of $2,000. Monsignor Jennings, of course, started St. Pius X Parish and school and was the long-beloved pastor for so many years from the beginning. And we recognize him and honor his memory as naming him the biggest sponsorship level in the tournament. And then we have the gold level for $1,000, and then the silver level for $750, and the gallery sponsorship for $300, and the whole sponsorship for $125. All of these are good ways to promote your business, or you can do it in loving memory of someone. We have a lot of people that have the golf signs at the hole, the tee signs at the hole, that say in loving memory of a loved one that passed away, either during the year or in the past. And a lot of them are beloved former supporters of St. Pius, and most of them are former members of St. Pius the 10th Parish and school.
All right, so can I be this guy and say, okay, if I'm a golfer and I'm good, which I'm not, but are there any prizes involved?
Oh, prizes. We've got prizes, uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
Dangle the carrot in front of me.
Yeah, come on.
You know, for the overall winners, the first prize is $500. Basically, you get your entry feedback.
Okay. I played for free.
The second prize is $300, and the third place team is $200. And then we have different little categories of prizes. On hole number 8, we have if you make a hole in one, which there's a long shot of that. We always have a car that each year that's donated by McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street.
Whoa.
Just got to get the hole in one.
You could win a car. You just got to get a hole in one.
You can win a car.
Yes.
Forget about the difficulty of the hole in one.
I know, yeah.
I just want to focus on the fact that you can win a car.
No, but here's the funny thing, Todd. You don't want to do the hole in one on hole 7 because there's no car there. You got to do it on hole 8.
Oh, you got to do it on hole 8.
That would be your kind of luck.
I'm all about it. I get it.
That would be your luck.
And the chances of that happening are, you know. Yeah.
Well, don't talk about that.
It's a million to one shot.
I buy lottery tickets, okay? And I could get struck by lightning at a better chance right now in the studio, and yet I still do it.
And then we have what we call the longest drive, and you get a $100 gift certificate, usually to one of the restaurants or something that donates that for. Okay. And then the closest to the pin, whoever on a par 3 hole gets closest to the pin, they get another $100 gift card. And then we have on one of the holes, we have what we call the club throw, where you take a golf club and whoever throws it the furthest.
You could do
that's,
that.
That's probably my only
gift card.
Yeah. Now, I have played in a few of these tournaments because I've been invited by friends or, you know, hey, Todd, we got a foursome. You want to be a part of it? And I have to dig out and dust off my golf clubs, you know, because I never use them. And I am proud to say that there have been a couple times when you play best ball, they've actually used my shot.
Wow.
Now, my shot was probably accidentally the best one, but they have used it, Robert.
Hey, I'll have to agree with you. I play a couple of times a year myself, and I'm like you. Every year I have to dust off my clubs.
Oh, yeah.
But fortunately, I get to play with my two sons, who are both alumni of St. Pius.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
And you know, every once in a while, I let them take care of all the long shots, and usually I get the little short shots or the putts in. And like you, I get to use my shots every once in a while myself.
Fantastic.
Robert Obermeier, thanks for joining us. St. Pius X Golf Tournament, a month from today. Go to their website, stpiustenth.com, St. Pius Mobile, and register and join in this great fundraiser.
Oh, thank you very much, and we look forward to hearing from you and look forward to the support anyone can give.
Thanks.
All right.
Blogosphere's next. Final segment on this Holy Thursday. I'm going old school on you, Todd, so you'll want to stick around for that.
Indeed.
Stay with us. Oh, final segment on this Holy Week for us here at LA Catholic Morning. Just a reminder that things will continue on air at Archangel Radio. We've got some great Triduum. Did I say that right, Todd? Triduum.
Triduum. Triduum. It's hard because it's two U's right in a row.
Yeah, who puts a word with two U's?
Anyway,
we've got some great programming from across the country and across the world. We'll have live coverage from the Vatican Easter and Holy Week, Good Friday, all of the services you're going to be able to catch live on here, as well as some across the country from the Basilica in Washington, D.C., our National Cathedral, plus some great and engaging, edifying Holy Week, Holy Thursday, Good Friday programs.
Amen.
So stay with us. And a final good news thought here, too, on that note, that we asked you earlier this week to help us hit our Lenten almsgiving goal. And we started the week with needing about $2,100. We hit the goal yesterday, so thank you very much.
We were the best listeners in the world.
They really are.
So generous.
Yeah, so thank you, everybody.
Yesterday marked 8 years since Mother Angelica passed away.
Oh, you looked that up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when I talked about going old school, it was going to Mother Angelica because she has a way about her that I think crosses generations and crosses mediums, whether it's on radio or TV. But she had a great program that aired 30 years ago. It came on, I believe, in March of 1994, right before Easter. And it was five suggestions from Mother Angelica for Holy Week for you. Okay. And I thought we'd run through them because
I like them. I like them already.
She's no nonsense, and she gets right to the heart of the matter. Number one, repent and change your life. So at the beginning of this program, and you could probably catch it on EWTN TV over this coming weekend, she mentions the Marian apparitions and talks about them, how they all have a common theme. Repentance, metanoia, a change of life. So when we're called to be better, we have to respond to that call. So everything is all about repenting and turning towards the Lord. She references the Bible. She says, this is a book to be lived, not just read. You know, sound factual advice from Mother Angelica. And she reminds us in the Bible with the woman at the well that there was an action that needed to be done on her part. Jesus tells her, go and sin no more. So repent and change your life. That's your first thing you got to do. Number two to remember during this Holy Week, according to Mother Angelica, remember that hell exists. There's a lot of contemporary people, Todd, that whitewashed this whole hell experience.
Yeah, but
post-living
I want to talk a little bit about this,
okay,
if you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
Because you know, some people are like, oh, here we go, Catholics, right. You're trying to scare us.
Hell and brimstone.
We're not.
Fire and brimstone.
We're not trying to scare anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, fear is not a good motivator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love is the best motivator. Love will make you climb mountains
and
swim oceans. But fear it might move you a little bit temporarily, but normally people overcome that fear anyway. That's not why we mention hell and its true existence. It's because we understand what free will is, and you can't have love without free will. So with that, you have to be able to say no.
Mm-hmm.
That's what hell is. So when St. John of the Cross says that we're only one breath away from hell, that's not a scary thing. It just means it only takes one breath to say no.
Yeah.
Like there is an ocean of grace, mm-hmm. an ocean of grace ready to flood into our hearts and souls. And yet God is waiting for us to say yes. Mm-hmm. And that's, so hell just simply means It's a life where there were more no's than there were yeses. Does mm-hmm. that make sense, Ellen?
Yes. And I think the problem is people in the world want the afterlife under their own conditions, not what God has set up. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to do whatever I want. But yeah, I'm expecting the prize at the end, if it, you know, eternal life. Yeah. Mother Angelica encourages people, don't pay attention to the rot in the culture that is telling you there is no hell. Because it has been laid out through countless writings, Old and New Testament, about heaven and salvation. And it's a reality as much as the world would like to tell us it doesn't exist. So,
But not only that, if you are honest about our lives, it's like, why would someone say yes to God mm-hmm. if they're basically their whole life they've said no?
Yeah.
Like, why then? After you take your last breath, do you then think, oh, well, absolutely? Because we're picturing it like it's a dumb movie. Mm-hmm. Like there's two elevators, one that goes up and one that goes down.
Yeah.
And the one for heaven, it opens up and there's fields of wildflowers and angels playing harps and delectable foods and all these great things. And then they open up the other one and there's demons and fire and stuff.
You're like
which one would you choose? Like, well, duh, I'm going to choose the one that's wonderful. It's like, well, that's really not how it works. It's when God says, are you willing to completely empty yourself, to let go of everything? And I mean everything, including, by the way, unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Can you let go of everything and then join me in perfect love? I truly believe, sadly, that there are a lot of people that are be like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm still in control. I'm still in charge of this.
Yeah, I'm going to say who I'm going to forgive, which leads us to point number three, forgive your enemy. So Mother Angelica reminds us that when we can't forgive, Holy Week is a week in which we must forgive. And I think the example of that is Christ on the cross. He was able to remind us that it is all about love and forgiveness. And if you don't take that step, you're never going to get to what Todd is talking about. You have to let yourself go. You have to forgive. And Mother Angelica says, she reminds people in the show that before Good Friday, call your favorite enemy. And that is somebody you dislike the most. And call him and tell him, I forgive.
Call your favorite enemy.
Yes.
See, that's why Mother Angelica is gold.
Yeah. She really gets to the heart of it. All of these other things, nothing is important if you don't forgive and show forgiveness that Christ showed us as his example while he's hanging on the cross on Friday.
Amen.
Number four, pray the rosary every day.
Okay, I got to make comments on this one too.
Okay, so Mother Angelica says there is nothing more powerful than prayer, and in this episode, when she talks about the five things for your Holy Week to make it accumulate at the end of this Lent, she said, "Don't let the sun go down on your anger," and I think that's a really good point because it goes back to the previous point of forgiveness. But prayer and praying the rosary is a powerful way to recenter yourself, not on your interior, your own thing, but the exterior and prayer. And she says, to your point that you were talking about choosing the elevator, that she says, I'm going to read the quote because she says it good. All my life, I've thought when a person dies, there is that space of less than 1 second between the judgment and the moment there are no more chances when everything is established forever. I believe that moment is the one in which through prayers a person can see Jesus for an instant. And I think this vision might make them say, oh God, forgive me. And that's what I need to be saved.
Yeah.
So if you are prepping your whole life for that instant, you know, I always think about that. Sometimes my prayer is my moment of death. God, don't let me be weak or fearful. You know,
mm-hmm.
let me just be.
That's a valid prayer.
Yeah. So, but it's going to take, it's like we talked earlier in the week about muscle memory mm-hmm. and being able to do things like athletes do because they've prepared for it for so long. A well-lived prayer life leading up to that moment of death. I mean, that's what we're preparing for, too.
But I want to give people some consolation mm-hmm. who might be listening, saying, okay, mm-hmm. The rosary is not a major part of my life. Mm-hmm. It wasn't in my life until COVID hit.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like, I was a sporadic rosary prayer.
Right, yeah.
Prayer. I mean, I would pray, and oftentimes I'd get to Mass early, and they would be on the third decade or the uh-huh. fourth decade, and I'd pray along with them. And right. then I'd consider that to be my rosary for
right,
the day.
Yeah.
Because it was, to me, an obligatory prayer. I was praying it because, you know, you're supposed to pray the rosary
yes,
every day, so you pray the rosary.
Gotta get my beads.
But it wasn't a part of me mm-hmm. until we couldn't get to Mass. Mm-hmm. And then the rosary became that kind of, as best it could, a substitute mm-hmm. for that longing. And now it's a part of me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't pray the rosary because I have to. Mm-hmm. I don't even pray the rosary necessarily because I want to. I pray the rosary because it's a part of me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a part of my breathing. And I know that sounds hokey, but it really has become almost a part of my soul. And to get to that place is you've actually got to do it.
Yeah.
Like you said, the muscle memory. Mm-hmm. And you get to that place, and now I savor it. Mm-hmm. And I realize 53 times a day I'm asking the Blessed Mother to pray for me at the hour of my death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you want to prepare.
Yeah, seems like good preparation.
That's the preparation.
Yeah.
What would you say, though, to those people who say, Todd, I can't do it, or I don't want to. Can I still get into heaven? Mm-hmm. What if I don't do an hour of adoration? Am I still getting into heaven? Because I've heard priests and I've heard people say, if you don't do adoration, you're going to hell.
People say that?
Oh, yeah. I've heard priests say that.
That's an absurd thing to say.
Yeah.
Because there is no declaration, like, if you do this, then this.
We can't make that.
We're always striving to get closer to Christ. Mm-hmm. And the Blessed Mother, for whatever reason, I don't even know how this formula works, but her ladder to heaven is shorter. Her ladder to heaven mm-hmm. is shorter. And I don't know why that algorithm works that way. When I study the lives of the saints, and you know how much I love the saints,
yes. yeah.
I have not been able to find one that hasn't had a close relationship with the Blessed Mother.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I haven't been able to find one yet, and I don't think I will.
I think for those people that, especially some people when they converts, you know, there's some stumbling blocks you always talk about, and when you talk to converts, what was it? Well, I never understood this Blessed Mother's place in the Catholic theology or thinking. I kind of think of it as how I would my mother, you know, or anyone's mother. What does a mother want most for her children? For them to be happy, loved, safe, content.
Nurtured.
Yeah. So if you think about it like that, and it's just on just a grander scale than we could ever imagine.
Yeah.
So I think that's how you would do that. I would say, too, for some people, maybe the rosary is you know, for time constraints or whatever. Some people start off with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which is another great prayer.
Beautiful, yeah.
And so that may be a little bit easier for them to ease into first, because once you start praying some type of prayers, you're going to realize and then move on to others. Well, I want to pray for this. I think I started a couple years ago after a guest said we should be doing the morning offering every day. So I added the morning offering in, like, first thing when my eyes pop open. That's it, you know, before I even stumble out of bed. And then
muscle memory.
Yeah. And then about a year ago, we talked about the St. Gertrude prayer to pray for the souls in purgatory. And so I added that one in. And so there's small things that you could just do that you add into your day, and your prayer life can grow, even if it's not a long prayer or all the things that if you have a busy life, you say, oh, I can't do that. You can put in these small things, and they become like you said, little building blocks and steps.
Yeah, but even when we quote unquote say the busy life,
yeah,
I think it's good for us to periodically, you know, take a look at that. Like, mm-hmm. I know now the drives in my life, the regular drives. Mm-hmm. You know, when I drive from my home mm-hmm. to one of the big home improvement stores,
yes,
it's exactly a rosary.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly a rosary mm-hmm. to the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you might say, oh, well, Todd, you're busy. Well, yeah, I am. But if I'm driving,
uh-huh.
I mean, that's a perfect time to pray the rosary
before
I'm walking in to buy lumber. I mean, it's just, and you can find those times. Yeah. You know, there's shorter drives that are chaplet drives.
Right, yeah.
And then there are other drives that there's just that simple prayer of conversion. O blood and water, which gush forth from the heart of Jesus as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. You can pray that a number of times just going to the post office.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, it's just integrating that and weaving it into our lives because your greatest love is what you're going to seek after we die. It's your greatest love.
Yeah.
Now, if it's just yourself, unfortunately, that's not a good end.
No, it's not. Which leads us to number five of Mother Angelica's tips for Holy Week, suggestions for Holy Week. Number five, learn to listen to other people's problems. So this is during the show, which I'm sure you can catch on EWTN. Mother heard from a man who was suffering from depression, and he commented, I don't feel like doing anything. And she said that, you know, many people suffer from depression. Sometimes it's physical, but sometimes it happens that we think too much about ourselves and about our future. And she says sometimes people with depression, they don't pray, or they say they can't pray. And you have to just make yourself pray, or saying something simple, Jesus, I love you. Help me. I don't want to feel like this. I mean, different basic things. And then she says, in response to that, you need to do something. Go do something to help someone. Go visit and help somebody who also is appearing lonely or depressed. Go visit somebody in a nursing home that has nobody in their world. You're not going to be depressed when you are pouring yourself out in service and love for others. And I think that's what she's trying to get to the point of, that love and gratitude of other people, these are ways that we can get and step outside of ourselves so we can actually be the hands and feet of Christ here. And then in many ways, in this way that God has created us in our humanity, we step away a bit from our interior problems, self-loathing, selfishness, all of that, because we're stepping back out. So her thing is that you need to listen to other people and talk to them and just share with them. So whether you encounter, maybe you're not somebody that's overly depressed, but we get busy with ourselves. Maybe there's somebody you encounter on your daily activities that could use you stopping and being a smiling face, a listening ear.
Yeah, it's amazing when if you authentically are asking, how are you doing, and then you pause, you're not really just wanting the answer fine.
No, yeah.
If you really want to know how people are doing, they'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. And most people, we give the answer fine because we're like, oh, they don't want to stop and hear the minutiae of this. And some of it is just us complaining. But I think we need to spend more time in each other's company and listening to each other, not in the digital world. I think that's really taken away a lot of our human interaction and the way that we feel compassion or empathy for each other. Mm-hmm. Because we can disregard somebody if it's on a phone or a text message or the internet. Go out and be the hands and feet of Christ
Triduum. Close enough.
I'll practice on it for
it's
next
good.
Year.
All right, so there'll be an evening mass, liturgy of the Last Supper tonight.
Yes.
Tomorrow, oftentimes they'll offer Stations of the Cross, and then there's the Liturgy of the Lord's Passion. It's not a mass. There is no mass in the world tomorrow, but you can receive communion. And then off the same part of that liturgy, it takes 3 days, is the Easter Vigil. So if you have the opportunity to participate, there's a lot of graces being poured out.
Oh, yeah. Go get them. We thank our sponsor, Anna Luce with Roberts Brothers Realty, top 10 in 2023. Let Anna get you moving forward in the greater Mobile Bay Area with your next home. Go to annaluce.robertsbrothers.com or call 251-454-2782. We'll be back live Monday morning, Mikey. You
yes,
know
that's
what's
right.
On the
we'll have Dawn Buettner providing you and Ellen, of course. I mean, you and Todd, of course, will be providing our Take a look at the news from a Catholic perspective. Dawn Buettner has our Saints of the Month for April. And we'll talk with Austin Ruse about, and he'll address the question, did Christ have a sense of humor?
Happy Triduum.
Yeah.
God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.